where somebody wasn't so happy or thankful, goes like this. Minutes after a famous painting by a street artist called Girl with a Balloon, 2006, he painted this, sold for $1.6 million Canadian. I don't even understand that, but anyway, I don't know anything about art. But minutes after it was sold by, I believe, at Sotheby's, it was shredded from inside the frame. So I guess shredders can come pretty small. And what had happened was the person who painted it, I believe this is what happened, put a shredder inside the painting frame, inside the frame. And minutes after it was sold, $1.6 million, it didn't belong to him anymore. The way it read here in the article was, an alarm was triggered from within the frame, so remotely, and guests watched helplessly as the canvas artwork slipped through the frame and shredded into smaller strips. I don't know his motivation. I'm sure we'll find out, or people will try to find out why he did that. But there was something in there that he wasn't thankful about. I'm not sure what it was. But not everybody is thankful, but this morning we want to be. Of course, because it's Thanksgiving. Not long before his death, Jesus told a story for us to relate to that challenges us about sharing the important things and being thankful, and then what we do with them. And so I invite you today, if you'd like to join me, in Matthew chapter 25. I don't have it on slides today. Come with me to Matthew 25, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 25 is one of the most challenging, I think, chapters. It's not the only one, of course. There are many, but it's very challenging because there are parables in Matthew 25 that are quite forceful. And they're among some of the most forceful teaching of Jesus. And of course, it makes sense because this isn't too far or too long before Jesus' death and resurrection. And so he, toward the end of his ministry, shared some of these parables. And if we were to put in a phrase, what was Jesus teaching about? We would say that, or we could say that, Jesus' teaching was very much about the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And I would suggest to you that the kingdom of God exists wherever Jesus is given rule and reign. The kingdom of God is not a physical place. Sometimes we talk about God being in heaven and our being on earth. But we understand that God is Spirit who lives in unapproachable light, and he lives in the heavens, and he also presences himself here on the earth in all places by his Spirit. But the kingdom of heaven, that's what Jesus was really getting across. This is what it's like when God is given, when indeed Jesus is given rule and reign, because those who build their houses on rock are those who listen to and obey the words of Jesus. That's what he taught. And here is one of these challenging parables, Matthew 25 from verse 14. For it is just like it being the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man about to go on a journey who called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. So Jesus tells this parable, which is about God, and he couches it or describes the kingdom of heaven in this way. He says, the boss goes away on an extended vacation, and he leaves things to his employees. And you could contextualize that to perhaps your situation or a situation you've been in. Maybe the principal goes away on a year-long leave and leaves things in the staff's hands. I had somebody call me not long ago saying, I'm going on a sabbatical next summer. Could you come and speak for a few Sundays while I'm gone. So maybe the leader goes away and entrusts the rest to the staff. The manager goes south for some training and a long vacation. The Bible college president goes on an extended holiday. A parent or parents go along for a really long holiday and leave the things with their children. Whatever it may be, this is an anticipation for Jesus that the Son of God will leave the earth with the promise that he'll return. Nobody knows when except the Father. And before leaving, the boss outlines who's responsible for what. We're not given the details of that, but there would be more detail to the story. But he leaves one of his servants with 5 talents, one with 2, one with 1. And we would put the word talents in quotation marks because I think it would be helpful if a different word were used, because he's not talking about gifts and talents and abilities, but we can apply them. A talent refers to a sum of money. And from what we understand, it was a lot. I'll tell you about that soon. When Jesus tells the story, he's talking about God and God's people. God is the owner. Jesus is the one to whom the kingdom belongs. When Jesus goes away, and what did he leave behind? Because we're still in that time of Jesus having left to his people resources, not just money, but resources for us to use for the kingdom. Here are some things that I've noted as I considered. What are some of the things that have been left for me, for us? Well, he's left us with, first and foremost, perhaps, his grace. And he's left us with faith, because it is by grace we're saved, through faith. He's given us his word. He's given us not only the written word, but he's given us the living word, who is Jesus. And he's given us the one who reveals the word, the rhema word of God, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's given us gifts and talents and skills. He's given us money. He's given us cash. He's given us all kinds of ways to use money. He's given us our minds and our intellects. Whether we are computer geeks or whatever we may be, he's given us our minds and intellects. He's given us our experiences to share. He's given us time. Time is so very valuable. He's given us knowledge and information, relationships. He's given us his character within us. He's given us the mind of Christ and so much more. He's given us those intangibles like love and mercy and goodness and holiness. Yet we're not all the same, and so he has distributed gifts and abilities and skills and experiences and all the rest in different ways to different people, or he has allowed them to be distributed. The spiritual gifts particularly are distributed by the Holy Spirit. God has entrusted us. And another really, really important resource that he's entrusted to us, is the earth, his creation, to be good stewards of it. Romans 12, verse 3, for one, says that each of us has been given a measure of faith. Faith is not the sort of thing that we generate on ourselves, but rather we recognize that it has been given to us by the Lord, that he's entrusted faith to us, and so many other things. So many of our testimonies today were about people who've had influence. We thank the Lord for mothers. We thank the Lord for family. We thank the Lord for the body, who have shared in different ways and have supported and loved. And as people have done that for us, we reciprocate. Because the Lord has done that through us, most especially through Jesus, we respond. So when the rubber meets the road, what about me? And I encourage you, I encourage myself, as I have, but to do more, to prayerfully consider, Lord, what have you entrusted to me? What have you made me a steward of that you want to be used for your kingdom? Which means to offer back to you, even as we sang today, to offer back to you what you've given to me in order to help create and help sustain a reality in which Jesus is given rule and reign. How can I do that? How can I do that? One of the children said, thankful for a home. How can I do that with my home? How can I do that with what God has given me? We carry on in this passage about this, what for many of us would be a familiar story. Boss goes away, and immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who received the 1 talent went away. He dug a hole in the ground, and he hid the master's money. And we're told that an educated guess is that one talent of silver was worth maybe 10 to 15 years of pay for a middle class income earner. So you can do the math for yourself. Whatever for you would be 10 to 15 years of pay. That's how much was entrusted to the person who was given 1 talent. So then you go further and you multiply by 2 or multiply by 5, and that's just a whole lot entrusted, a whole lot of responsibility. Now, when somebody suggests the scenario of a boss or a manager or a principal or parents leaving for a year, I think there probably would be a lot of people whose eyes would get big and excited. Woo! You know, I got some time. The cats can play, right? But when this boss left, his servants were not left with freedom from responsibility, but rather they were left with freedom to responsibility. And that's an illustration for us, that Jesus did not leave and say, just believe in me and that's great. You got a ticket in your pocket and you are free from responsibility. But no, rather he calls us to responsibility, to be living out the kingdom that he has implanted in us by his Holy Spirit. 2 of the servants went to work right away with the money, and they managed over this long period of time, we don't know how long it was, managed to double it. Well, that's great. What kind of that's a pretty great return, especially with interest rates. I know they're rising, but they're rising very slowly. So to double that in whatever period of time, well done. We don't know what they did. Maybe they went into business. Maybe they sold first century Avon or candles. I don't know. Maybe they created a chain called McFalafels. We don't know. Whatever it was, I expect they worked hard with what they had, and they probably even took some risks. Now, we need to take measured, prayerful risks in our spiritual lives. We need to take measured, prayerful risks to step out of our comfort zones. Now, I hear it said, and I see it practiced so very often. People say, you know what, I'm afraid to share my faith. And we are being conditioned in our culture to keep it to ourselves. Now, it's okay for you to believe whatever you believe. Just, you know, go on Sunday, go to your building, do what you like inside. But when you come out, you be secular, okay? And you fit into a secular mindset and don't share your faith. Well, the reality is that in the world today, brothers and sisters, people really want truth. And even more than that, people need it. And Jesus was the sort of person who, led by the Spirit always, shared the kingdom with others. And he calls us to that. And he calls us, whatever resources we have, that it's not about their mind, but rather that all of the good things come from the Father of heavenly lights, in whom there's no shifting or changing, and they belong to him. And we say, Lord, how can I use these for your kingdom, for the presence of Jesus to be manifest more and more? What risks, maybe, do I need to take? What are we doing with what I have? So the first two, they did very well with what they had, but the third servant decided he wasn't going to take a risk because he knew that if he lost it, he'd be in a heap of trouble. So what was he driven by? What was he motivated by? What was he controlled by? He was controlled by fear. And maybe we could describe other things that control him. But he was afraid. In fact, he would even say that. And I've got to be honest. When I hear that a talent is worth 10 to 15 years of pay, I'd be pretty nervous if that were given to me too. I mean, I might get a little excited for a while. And I'm a pretty conservative kind of guy when it comes to investing things. But fear so controlled him that he actually went and he buried it. He buried the money. My grandmother, who passed away a few years ago, she was 96. God blessed her with a long life. My mom took care of her finances, and she was doing just fine. My mom would say, well, maybe we should give a donation here. We could spend some money there. My grandma said, no, I can't do that. I don't have enough. Didn't matter how much she had, she didn't have enough. And the reason was because having lived through the Second World War, she still couldn't get rid of the fear that was still within her about somehow things might crash. And so she literally was one who had money under the mattress. She had it various places in the house. And she was afraid to take risks with what she had. I've got to be honest that I would be nervous. Many of you know how the story will turn out. And here's how it continues. Verse 19, Matthew 25. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and he settled accounts with them. The one who'd received 5 talents came up, brought 5 talents more, and said, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I've gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said to him, Master, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. And I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy servant. Does anybody have some sympathy for this guy? He was afraid. What little, and it really wasn't a little for him when you think 10 to 15 years of wages. He was afraid, and he was too afraid, gripped by fear that he could not release. He could not get out of that fear. He could not move past that fear. And his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, I gathered where I scattered no seed. What does that mean? Well, it means that he would take some risks. And it means that while he would reap where he sowed seed, he would invest, he would reap other places. I don't know if he was a venture capitalist, I don't know what he was, but he found other ways where he had not sown the seed, where he would engage, and he would still help for a harvest to be brought up. He was a savvy business person. But not so the wicked servant who had seen the example but wasn't willing to follow it. And he said, verse 27, Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him, give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given. And he or she will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he or she does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My first response to this poor guy would be like, just hang on, Jesus. Like, that's a little harsh, isn't it? But the point is being made, because we can remember this is not a true story, but no doubt it's lived out in places. But this is God saying to us, if there's a message for any of us, and perhaps for all of us. It is that with what God has entrusted to us, with it, may we not be motivated, gripped, driven, controlled by fear. We say, I can't do that because I'm afraid. Or I can't do that because whatever excuse I make is the front for fear. Now there's some things we ought not to be doing. I should not fix cars. That's not some place where I'm going to step out. But there are places in my life like engaging more neighbors than I have. I might say, well, Lord, you know, time has passed and too much time has passed, and so I'm not even going to go say hi to them because it's taken too long. And the Lord says, no, you go and you initiate. You go say hi to them. You go bless them. You go share the love of Christ. You go share the kingdom of Christ. You don't even have to say it. Go to them and say, I'm here in the name of the kingdom of Jesus. Of course not, I wouldn't do that. There could be the knowledge, too, of gifts that God has given or that we need to step out into. People will say things like, you know, there's no way I could ever get up in front and speak in front of a group of people. Is anybody in that boat? Probably at least two of you. But you know, what we need to be doing ever is saying, Lord, is there some place or some way that you want me to step out and do something or be something with what you've given to me that I've not before? I may have shared with you this before, but I can tell you that 30 years ago, when I was in college, I would lock myself in my room if I was having a bad day, because the last thing that I wanted to be around was people. I was quite an introvert. I mean, I still am, but I was so much so that all I cared about was going to class, locking myself in a practice room so that I could enjoy being with a piano. They were my best friends. And then staying in my room and not being bothered. So, guess what? The Lord can change us. Amen? The Lord can take the fear and He can replace it, because we have not been given a spirit of fear, have we? But we have been given a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Self-control. Today, too, I would encourage us that when it comes to dealing with fear or fears in our lives, that we could be motivated by thankfulness. Because when we're motivated by thankfulness and we respond with thankfulness, we will respond not simply by sitting still, but we will respond in kind. And I want to encourage you today that if there's something holding you back that you might be afraid of, you ask the question, what does in kind mean? If I'm going to respond to God's kindness in kind, with what He has given me, whatever the resources may be, what does it look like to respond in a similar manner to which God has given to me? Nobody gave more than Jesus Himself. We are who we are, little Christ ones, Christians, because of God's incredible generosity to us, especially through Jesus. He made Himself available by sharing what He had to offer. Other people have made themselves available to us by what they have to offer, again, with some of the things that we were thankful for today. And so we make ourselves available, And we stand in the face of fear by responding in kind and allowing the strength to come from the Spirit of love and power and sound mind, rather than trying to do it on our own. We have to say, Lord, please help me, whatever it might be. Tarina, for example, my wife, was given an opportunity to share her story a couple years ago as she lives with the reality of cancer in her life. And she was pretty afraid because she doesn't speak in public very often. Well, we prayed about it together, and she prepared, and she had me look it over, and I said to her, I'll help you look this over, but I don't want to turn it into how I would do it. And without a doubt, the Lord without any surprise to me, the Lord, she just delivered that, and the Spirit of God gave her what she needed for the moment, and many lives, praise God, were touched. We could say, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm not educated enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not outgoing enough. And I want to challenge both you and me that those excuses don't necessarily wash with God. We acknowledge the resources that He's given. We see what we're doing about it. We prayerfully discover what we can do about it. And then we prioritize God's agenda. And we say, Lord, what is your will? How do I fit into it? And we recognize the need to keep our balance in the various seasons and times and trials of life. And we recognize that that affects and that changes what we may do. But in and through all of those things, God will choose to use us. All motivated by thankfulness to Him for what He so unselfishly made available to us. Spiritual and physical life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As Pastor Barry read today from Psalm 103, He heals our diseases. And I thank God that more and more I have an understanding that that is a process from an eternal point of view. That He is even in the process of healing us from the inside out. Because the healing of the Spirit is the most important, the changing of the Spirit. That we would see our very nature changed because we have received the new person. We've received the new nature, which is the nature of Jesus Christ. We've received His righteousness. And so we can live out that righteousness. Thankful for the greatest gift, the life and the death, and the resurrection of Jesus to give us life eternal. Jesus modeled with His disciples. He shared Himself. And then He entrusted His work, the work of the church, to them. And on down the line to those of us who are here now. It's very much a parable about Jesus. It's very much a parable of saying, I leave the work on earth of the kingdom to the Spirit through you until I return. And let me suggest as I close that for me, maybe for you, we need a greater sense of urgency. The Apostle Paul had the audacity to write to the Corinthians, imitate me, do what I do. And for many of us, we would say, well, that's okay for Paul, because Paul was an apostle and Paul was set apart and Paul was special, and we say, well, Paul's an example of who God has called us to be. Could we actually say to others, maybe in different words, Jesus Christ is in me the hope of glory, and with the greatest of humility, I would say to you, do as I do, imitate me. God calls us to that. God calls us. That's part of our giving back to Him. So others will see us using the gifts He's given to us. He'll see us using the resources He's given to us as an example for others. In a world of incredible negativity, there is something gray and dark about the world in which we live. And yet in it, we have been privilege to shine the light of Christ in so many different ways. We've seen clearly over and over again the need for Jesus' light to shine. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and that one will have an abundance. Oh, that's our call. For everyone who has, more will be given, and that one will even have an abundance. May we live in the abundance of Christ. May we be unafraid. May we not be driven by fear, but may we say, Lord, what do you have for me? Bring it on, Lord. It's not a challenge to the Lord, but it's an invitation of thanksgiving to say, Lord, help me. Whatever that fear may be, whatever that challenge may be that God is calling us to, may we be open and available so that the kingdom of Jesus will be known more and more. Let's pray together as the musicians come. Lord, this morning we can recognize fear. And Lord, we recognize from the story, from the parable, that the particular fear for this fictitious person who represents reality, Lord, we recognize he had a fear of rejection. He had a fear of failure. He had a fear of man. And Lord, I pray this morning, yet in the name of Jesus, that you would help us in your time and in your way to recognize and even be able to identify and name, are there any fears in our lives that are keeping us from that abundance? Keeping us from recognizing and seeing your kingdom at work and responding with both being and doing. And Lord, I pray that where they may be identified, where those fears may be identified, that in Jesus' name, Lord, fear would be broken and fear would be shattered, that the chains would come off like they did in prison for Paul and Silas. And that with the breaking of the chains of fear, that there would be lives of thanksgiving, lives that are so identified with your kingdom and the presence of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, Lord, I thank you. We thank you this morning that there is no fear bigger than you. And so, Lord, we commit and we commend ourselves to you for your purposes each day. And thank you on this Thanksgiving Day in Jesus' name.